All right. So we're going to continue on with our series through the 12 disciples. We're on James the Less today, and I'll start with talking about school. We're getting back to school season. And over my school years, I went to school with hundreds of other kids throughout my life. I had meaningful conversations with lots of people throughout 18 years of school and almost 42 years of life. You're starting the New Testament on October 1st, and October 1st is the day I turned 42. So 42 years of life, I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of different people. And I can tell you about some of them. I can tell you about my good friend Lisa. We met when she was about 6, I was about 5. She was riding her bike, I was riding a big wheel, and she fell off of her bike and skinned her knee. And we still know each other today. I could even tell you a story about how she now owns the house I grew up in. So that was quite a visit one time. This is my house, get out. I could tell you about Jason. We were best friends growing up. Thought we would be best friends forever. Even when he moved away for a little while, moved back. We still remained really good friends. He stood next to me, or near me at my wedding. I stood next to him at his. I also could tell you of my good friend Brett, who I met in college, and I thought for sure our futures were intertwined and we would be best and close friends forever. All of these friendships are very different today than they were back then. They are now more in the category of what we now call Facebook friends. Oh yeah, they're my best Facebook friend. Whoa, when do you see them? Never. I don't actually see these friends often, but I do hold a very special place for them in my heart because they, in one way or another, shaped me into who I am today. But there is another friend I want to tell you about. This friend said words to me that kind of planted and helped grow and water that final seed in my heart that brought me to Jesus. This friend, she poured out her heart to me one night, and because of her words, her testimony, I knew I wanted Jesus to be Lord of my life. She is perhaps the most important witness in my entire life. And I look forward to seeing her. And let me tell you her name. It's, I don't remember. In fact, I couldn't even tell you with any certainty what she looks like. And I never actually met her. I just heard her speak once. Never saw her again after that. But if not for her words, I may not be where I am today. And therefore, I consider her one of my best friends. In fact, she was, for lack of a better word, my hero. Shared the gospel to me in a way that I understood. I know nothing more about her than what she shared that evening, and I'm okay with that. And we're entering into our last group of four disciples with James the Less, and we know almost nothing about this disciple. The most significant information we know about the man from Scripture is that his mother, Mary, was a follower of Jesus and she witnessed the crucifixion. That's it. There are some theories out there that he is Matthew's brother because Matthew is also the son of Alphaeus. James is the son of Alphaeus. Brothers, maybe. There's some theories out there that says this James was the same James as who is Jesus' half-brother. Not very likely. That he was Jesus' cousin? Well, in Judaism, if you're a Jew, you're a cousin. So, yeah, probably. They're cousins. But inside of Scripture, we get almost nothing. Nothing he said was ever recorded. Nothing he did was ever recorded in Scripture, other than being on the list of disciples. Okay, that wraps it up. We can go home. No. I'm kidding. No! This James, despite how little we know about him, has something to teach us today, and it comes actually from reading a bit of Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11 tells the story of the heroes of faith. Many of them by name. If you read through Hebrews 11, it talks about Abel, Abraham, Moses, to name a few. But it is those that have no recorded name that we're focusing on. So we look at Hebrews 11, 35 to 38, and it's continuing this list of heroes of the faith. And it begins with women received their dead by resurrection. Which women? We don't know. Some were tortured. Who was tortured? We don't know. Refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. Who? Others. We don't know. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in caves of the earth. These are people who followed Jesus with all of their life until the end of their lives, and this passage of Scripture is all we know about them. We don't have names, we don't have wise winds or hows, we just know that some people followed Jesus and died. And we know there are millions of believers all around the world sharing the gospel, planting seeds, winning people to Jesus. And if I asked to name some of these people, you might be able to come up with one or two names. Maybe more if you are really into missionary stories. But all in all, you know by name less than probably 0.5% of God's children. Probably way less than that. Because we can't know everything there is to know about everybody. And that's true of the disciples as well. Yeah. But there are characteristics we can attribute to James the Less, even though these characteristics aren't attributed to him specifically, I firmly believe he held them. James had faith. What is faith? Also from Hebrews 11, just before the chapter on heroes of faith, we get this definition. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And I like to word it this way in relation to God. I believe God will do what he says he will do, and I believe he will do what I ask when I ask for what he wants. And this is James. Not because Scripture says he is a man of faith, but because he was with Jesus for years and followed. And when in John chapter 6, many followers left Jesus because what he said was too hard for them to hear, James stayed with the rest of the 12. James believed Jesus when Jesus said he held the words to eternal life. And our faith can be that strong too. When we believe God is looking out for us, even when things don't seem to be going our way, we can take comfort in his love, his grace, his mercy, and take joy in his promises. So James has faith. James also has endurance. Jesus said, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. We talked last week about Thomas the doubter and Thomas getting the bad rap for being called Thomas the doubter, or a doubting Thomas. When everyone else doubted, he just wasn't there to doubt with them. So he got to continue in his doubt for an extra week. James also had a period, a short lapse of doubt after the crucifixion. But James the Less, or James the son of Alphaeus, joined back up with everyone else, minus Judas Iscariot. And then those 11 followed Jesus for the rest of their lives. So we're going to hit troubles in our lives. Unfairness will occur. Or fairness we just don't like will occur. Struggles and temptations will win us over. We'll fall down and sometimes we'll want to stay down. The world will encase us in doubts. And I'm sure we've each of us had our bad days. But don't let your bad days define you. I would encourage you to endure even through those bad days. And I'll even say this. I'll challenge you to not even let your good days define you. Because if you let your good days define you, when those bad ones hit, you might not endure so well. Instead, let Jesus define you. And when you do, those problems, when they come, those struggles, those temptations will be easier to endure. They'll melt away and become more bearable. Dare I say, they might even be fun. Maybe not. James was also, he had faith, he had endurance. James was also obedient. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." I've met far too many people who say to me, "Oh, don't worry about me, I believe in God." Do you know who else believed in God? The Pharisees believed in God. Judas Iscariot believed in God. Satan and the demons believed and believe in God. All of them believed in God, but they didn't obey him. And I'm not trying to say that you must work to be saved. It's not the obedience to his word that saves us, because there's a lot of people who are very good rule followers. But the Bible also says if you even break one rule, it's as if you've broken all of them. What I'm saying is that when you believe in Jesus, I expect that to mean you have heard what he has to say and have listened to it. You're believing with your whole soul, your whole body, your whole mind, your whole strength, and not just your knowledge. When Jesus said that if you have two shirts and your neighbor has none, then give him a shirt, I expect you to believe that and give your neighbor a shirt. Because if I say that I believe in Jesus, but I don't do what he says, then how can I really say I believe in him? James obeyed. So it should be a little easier for us since we have the testimony of these men who obeyed. James had faith. He was obedient. He had endurance. James was also sacrificial. Galatians 2 says, "I have been," and this is Paul speaking now, not James, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." We often think of biblical sacrifice, and I think it means to die for something we believe in, and you'd be right if you think that way, but it also means so much more than that. James, along with the other disciples, left everything to follow Jesus. We saw Matthew leave a very prestigious and wealthy job of a tax collector to become a homeless guy with Jesus. That's not a great worldly career choice. Simon, Andrew, James, and John left good careers as fishermen to follow Jesus. We don't know what kind of life James, the son of Alphaeus, left to follow Jesus, but he gave up what he wanted in order to do what Jesus wanted. And I can guarantee he was better for it. Anyone in this room who is a parent understands what sacrifice is. Anyone who gives of their time to help someone else knows what sacrifice is. Anyone who works in a church knows what sacrifice is. Sacrifice is giving yourself to someone or something else and making you and your desires less important. So the big question becomes, James had these characteristics. He had faith. He had endurance, he had obedience, he had sacrifice. How do we know that James held these characteristics? Because if he didn't, he couldn't have been a follower of Jesus. You see, Jesus didn't just have 12 followers. He had hundreds, if not thousands, of people regularly following him around and listening to him teach. Men, women, children, all claimed Jesus as the one they followed. But like what happened in John 6, some only sort of believed. When things got hard, they walked away. And it happens to us. Things get hard for us, and we think that distancing ourselves from the church will make things better. They won't. I've had people say, oh, I'll come back to church when I get my life back together. You won't get your life back together outside of Jesus and outside of the church. We think that having the head knowledge of Jesus will grant us into his kingdom. And it won't. We think that doing good things a few days a month will earn us favor. It won't. But these four characteristics that we went over today were held firm by 11 out of 12 of the disciples, hand-picked by Jesus. These 12, minus Judas, who had his own job according to Scripture, so these 11 have a very special reward. In the New Jerusalem, it says in Revelation 21, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. James's name will forever be a part of the Jesus crew, and we will all know his name and very possibly his story. And if you're going to ask me who's the 12th name on the list, because we don't think it's Judas, and is it Matthias or Paul? There's a lot of discussion on that. And I guess we'll just have to wait till we get there to find out. That's just what we're going to have to do. We may not know much about James the Less or James the son of Alphaeus right now. But we know Jesus chose him to be one of the 12 to help him share the gospel with the world. And if that is all we knew about any of the disciples, I would hope that would be enough, though the Bible would be a bit shorter. Because while we have these neat stories and we can learn from them, and these are lives we can admire, there is only one life who is important, and that is Jesus. If we had some way to talk to James the Less today, I'm confident he would not say much, if anything, about himself that didn't have to do with Jesus. He would probably say of all the great things that he saw Jesus do, his focus would be on Jesus. And he would tell us what our focus should be as well. And I would encourage us not to worry about how people perceive you. Oh man, that's just a Jesus freak. They're just weird. Great! That's what I want people to I want people to know me for my relationship with Jesus. Don't worry about the people in your life constantly making the wrong choices. I would say just don't worry about anything. Our job from the moment we accept Jesus' gift of salvation is to forever glorify him and tell others about him. And that is our focus. To have faith, to have endurance, to obey, and to sacrifice. If our focus is Jesus, our faith will grow, we will endure, our obedience will be complete, and our sacrifice will be worth it. There is little outside of the Bible on James the Less after Pentecost. There is some evidence that he went to Persia to spread the gospel. And there's evidence that he was martyred at some point in some method. But we do know he gave his all to Jesus, and we can live his example by giving our all to Jesus. So of our list so far, we have had people who have had significant stories. And James, the son of Alphaeus, or James the Less, if anybody in our list so far hasn't matched the song we're about to sing, it's going to be James the Less. Because he was just a nobody trying to tell everybody about Jesus. So let us stand and sing our song. Are getting really good at that song. I can hear you very clearly. It's so good. Let's close in prayer as we transition into a time of communion. Heavenly Father, we thank you for James. You know way more about him than we do. And you could tell us so many wondrous stories, but I think James would want us to focus on you, so that's what we'll do. And as we enter this time of communion and share the bread and the cup, I pray that we enjoy the fellowship, the communion, and your love for us. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.